You're listening to the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor.
I'm Roger Sutton. A University of Michigan researcher says post-traumatic stress disorder, often associated with military combat, may also affect 30% or more of people experiencing or witnessing natural disasters or terrorism. Public health professor Sandro Galea.
Post-traumatic stress is fairly common after a disaster. It depends a little bit on which group we are talking about. In the general population, typically we find about 5 to 7 out of 100 people have post-traumatic stress after a large disaster. Among rescuers or family members of those who were injured in a disaster, the prevalence is about 15%, so about 15 people out of 100. And among those who are direct victims or survivors of a disaster, you have about 35 to 40 out of 100.
What type of people are prone to it?
The biggest risk factor is exposure to trauma. So those who are in buildings, if buildings are collapsing, for example, or people whose home is destroyed in a hurricane or in an earthquake, that's the biggest risk factor. Then after that, we know that women are at more risk for post-traumatic stress than men, those with low income. It's unclear whether or not there are differences by ethnicity or by racial group. We know, and very importantly, that people who have few social networks, people who are not socially integrated and who don't have psychological and material supports, are at greater risk of the psychological consequences of disasters.
What are the symptoms?
Symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder include symptoms called re-experiencing, which means you start reliving the event, you keep thinking about it, you can't get it out of your mind. You also have symptoms called avoidance, which means you're avoiding things that remind you of the trauma and of the disaster. Then there's also symptoms called hypervigilance, which means you're jumpy, you startle easily. You also have depressive symptoms after a disaster, which are more common than not. And those include things like having no energy, having no joy in life, dragging your feet everywhere, essentially.
How long do these symptoms linger?
We find that after disasters, most symptoms probably in most people go away in the first 6 months. The problem is that there's a group of people, anywhere from a tenth to a third of those who initially have psychopathology, post-traumatic stress, who go on to have symptoms 6 months beyond an event and probably keep those symptoms for years thereafter, even potentially for decades. Psychopathology is just a broad term that refers to illness that is psychiatric illness. And we tend to divide pathology into mental and physical pathology, which of course is a bit of an artificial distinction since there's a lot of linkages between the two. But psychopathology refers to post-traumatic stress disorder, depression, anxiety, and any range of diagnosable psychiatric illness.
Galea says sufferers of post-traumatic syndrome disorder can be treated pharmacologically, that is, with drugs, or through psychological therapeutic approaches, especially something called cognitive behavioral therapy,
which is usually a series of visits and encounters with a psychiatrist or a psychologist or a counselor, where individuals are taught how to understand their symptoms and reinterpret them so that they do not bring about the negative connotations that they have in the context of their disease.
Galea says perhaps the best thing that can be done for disaster survivors is to provide them material, pragmatic support.
This is increasingly called psychological first aid, and it's providing the social and the material supports to help those affected by a disaster get over the first few days and a few weeks of an event. And that probably will make a substantial difference in ensuring that those who are survivors of a disaster do not go on to have post-traumatic stress or depression in any way that lingers.
Galea, who also holds an appointment in the UM Institute for Social Research, is involved in several ongoing research projects related to the mental health consequences of disasters, including studies in the U.S. of the aftermaths of the 9/11 attacks and Hurricane Katrina, and in Spain of the March 11, 2004 terrorist train bombings. He is also co-director of the Disaster Research Education and Mentoring Center, a joint project of the University of Michigan, the University of South Carolina, and the New York Academy of Medicine, with funding from the National Institutes of Health. The center provides education, mentoring, and technical assistance to researchers and governmental and non-governmental agencies following disasters and terrorism.
This has been a production of the University of Michigan News Service. Visit us on the web at www.umich.edu/news.